I came up to the church this morning fairly early, and one of the things is I was just crying out to God and just, you know, God, I want to know you more. I just want to encounter you more. I want my heart to be pliable to you. I want my heart to be pliable in every situation. I want to be able to hear and understand what the Lord is speaking. So funny thing is, I had this picture come up immediately, and the Lord doesn't always speak to me in pictures. He normally just says something to me. But you know those little brooms? My dad used to always carry it in his truck. Yeah, it was just... Anyway, before carpet was in there. I saw one of those, and I saw him, like, over my heart, and he was just doing that.
Oh, my goodness.
And dust was flying off. And so I asked the Lord what exactly that meant. I mean, besides the obvious, right? I felt like the Lord just showed me that, you know, in our life, through the choices I make and through the choices of others that affect me, sometimes it kicks up dust on us, right? And so that could either hinder me from seeking the Lord, or it could just cause me at times take a step back. You know, not like fall into sin and fall completely out of God's will. But just, you know, maybe I don't pray as I should, or whatever it may be. Or maybe just something in my mind changes. I just start entertaining thoughts that I don't need to. So this morning, allow the Lord to do the same for you, right? Another thing is, several things actually that Jamie said, I was like, oh, praise God, we're on the same page. That's always a good thing. I was also this morning in prayer. I felt like the Lord showed me that this is a place for dreams to be fulfilled. So when you started singing just about new dreams breaking chains, I was like, oh, that's awesome. Because I felt like the Lord is speaking that where, you know, we've talked about before how there's things in our heart, there's opportunities that we have not come upon, or maybe there's just opportunities that we've sat down on, right? And so there's dreams in our heart, there's things that need to be, to come alive again. And this is the place for that to happen. And the reason why that is because it's a safe place. And because, just like I pray, you know, Jesus doesn't set us up for failure, and we're not going to set you up either. You know? So, that was an awesome confirmation that this is a place where dreams are fulfilled. Last night, the Lord just began to speak to me just about seeking Him in different areas. So it was really cool that I saw the broom thing too. But then this illustration came in to my mind. The Lord reminded me of something. When Rick and I got married, our wedding was in a small church. And I haven't changed any in the sense of I always wanted to do things different. Always. Which caused some frustration when you're planning a wedding. I'm just saying. So Mom and I were back and forth on just get a dress, do this, and, you know, my friends were like, why don't you do this? And I was like, I don't want to do that, because we've always seen that in weddings, and I don't want to do what everyone else does, but I want it to represent me, and I want it to represent Rick. With that said, the Lord began to speak to me, which is actually, it's more common now. I've seen it several times, that I was to walk in during worship, that we were going to have worship playing, and a particular song that really highlighted Jesus as King and who he is and who I am in relationship to him. And I've seen it several times after that, so I think it's more common now, but at the time it really wasn't. So, but the fact is that, so Jesus spoke this to me, and he spoke, I want it to be a prophetic picture of my bride coming to the to me, but how that happens in worship and how some people will notice and some people won't. And so, which really irritated some people, by the way. So I did. We had worship, and Dad and I walked down the aisle. And, you know, that's usually one of, like, the best parts of the wedding, is to see the groom's face looking at the bride for the first time. So some people missed that because they were worshiping Jesus. And so, anyway, with that revelation, I didn't share that revelation. I just, we just walked it out. So a friend of mine afterwards came to me and said, I'm getting married in a month. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to have worship. I'm going to walk in on worship. I was like, awesome. But there was something missing in hers. For one reason, she just copied what I did, which was awesome. But she didn't have the revelation and full understanding of why I did it. So, with that said, when we say we're taking time off of outreach to seek Jesus, what does that mean? In our minds, sometimes we have an idea of what that means, you know. But I want you to know what it means for us. I want there to be full understanding and revelation of what Jesus has spoken to us about taking time off. And if Jesus speaks tomorrow and says, you know what, I want you to do this, then, you know, we will. So, seeking Jesus to us is simply positioning myself to make my request known to God and to hear his voice. If you would turn to Philippians 4. You know, even in just church life, you know, those that have been with us for a long period of time, you know that we try not to just pattern churches, what other churches do, just to pattern them. So that goes along with the illustration too. We want to walk in a full understanding of what God is speaking. Now, when I say full understanding, I don't mean that we have to know every single step. Because sometimes, you know, the word says we know in part, right? So, when I say full understanding, it just simply means that my heart is in tune to receive. My heart is submitted to him to receive. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So simply seeking him is making my petitions known to him and embracing his peace and his understanding. You know, a lot of times where we get ourselves in trouble is we feel like we have to know all the answers. And so we make them up. I mean, it's not always an evil intention of our heart to do that, of course. It's just we feel insecure when we don't know everything. You know, like when the Lord says, you know what, take the summer off from outreach. What? Why? Well, the truth is I really don't have to know why, except that it's good and he's good. And John 10, it talks about his sheep know his voice. Praise God that we know his voice. There's no reason to wrestle with whether it's his voice or my voice, just to rest that I hear his voice. If it lines up with the word of God, it's him. It's him. You know, there were times, I mean, I remember when I went to East Texas Baptist University, man, there felt like there were weeks and weeks I would struggle with what I heard from God. What I heard. And I would make that point because it felt like it was mainly in that time in my life that I felt like God was speaking things to me, but I would so wrestle with it. And I wish I just knew what I know now. And the fact that, you know what, I'm his sheep and I hear his voice and I know it. So another step to seeking Jesus, another positioning of saying nothing else matters more. Amen. Nothing else matters more. And if you would turn to Matthew 6. Like I said, these are things that the Lord has directed us to do specifically during this time. Well, Matthew's hiding from me. This positioning, it can be expressed through fasting, which that's what I'm going to hit on. It could be expressed through just extra alone time, I guess extra alone time, or maybe just alone time at all with Jesus. And I know that some of this is just foundational things, and you may leave out of here and say, wow, she didn't say anything new today that I haven't heard before, which is good. Awesome. That means you're already doing that. So in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I'm skipping down to 17, but when you fast, stopping. It doesn't say if, it says when. You know, a lot of times for us, for me, I'll speak for me, I get involved in things that just steal my time. Just take away time that I could be doing other things. So maybe that's just what to fast for, or fast from, not for. You know, that's another position of, you know, when we're fasting, we're just focusing on Jesus a little differently, right? When you find that your body is in need, your spirit man is a little bit louder. So I encourage you that during this time that you pray and ask God if he would have you to fast as a body during this time. You know, we're believing for big things, right? I mean, we're believing for a city. I mean, that's a lot of people. We are believing for unity. That's probably bigger than the city in a lot of ways. We're believing for big things. So we want ourselves to be positioned to hear clearly. Another reason, or another thing, seeking Jesus, what it means is rest. You know, and I'm not going to read all of that, but in Hebrews 4, the author talks about how the Israelites for disobedience, so they never entered their promised land, was actually what he talks about too as a place of rest. He refers to the promised land as rest. And so we are not just resting for the sake of resting. We're resting, walking into our promised land. Does that make sense? You know, we have said and will continue to say that this is a time of harvest. This is a time, we actually talked about it on Wednesday night. We talked about seeds that were planted generations before, that right now we're picking up the fruit from those up and off the tree. That was one thing that I shared at the women's conference. I think I shared it all. The Lord had showed me driving through town one day that not all of the fruit is still on the tree. Some of them are on the ground. Whether it's just our perception of things, or whether it's just our diligence in working, that we've ignored the fruit that's on the ground. It doesn't mean that it's bad, it just means that it's ripe sometimes. I remember being a little kid, actually my neighbor had a plum tree, and I couldn't reach the plums that were on the limbs, so I would pick the ones that were still good on the ground. So let's pray that God will make us aware of the fruit that's still on the limbs, and the ones that are so ripe they fall into the ground. We are in a time of harvest. I believe that we're walking in our promised land. And what that means for everyone in here is your dreams come easy.
Thank you, Jesus.
It is the time for those dreams to be fulfilled. Sometimes we have those things in our heart and we don't even realize it. We'll just say, you know what, I like doing that. Well, why do you like it? Something that God has placed inside of you to live and to walk in. If you would turn to Jeremiah 29, it's a popular verse. 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I love that, not to harm you. Wow. How we believe that some things that happen are from God, huh? He says he doesn't have a plan to harm us. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I'm going to stop there. When we seek him, we find him. And we trust him and believe that he hears us, that he has awesome plans for us. You know, I was reading this last night and this morning, and I just kept getting stuck on not to harm you. You know, I've said several times just about our perception of God and how God is a good God, period. Period. So the bad things that come are not from God. Another part of seeking God, or what we feel, just taking time off to seek God and what that means for us, is there is, which most of you know, just an extra fight. We've been in a fight. You know, when we're moving forward, the enemy likes to raise his head. It's just our job to nip it quickly, right? Stop the junk that's flying. So Ephesians 6, if you wouldn't mind turning there. so part of positioning ourselves to make our request known to God and hearing Him and basically just seeking Him, being quiet before Him at times, fasting, entering our promised land, and being at rest is as much part of a fight than standing up, hopping over the chairs, or whatever we feel like we have to do. To maintain rest in our heart, maintain the faith in our heart, to walk in our promised land. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 14, actually 13, sorry. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, 14, stand firm then. Stopping then. We have, in our life, we know this, what the enemy fights. Just things that I've been talking about. He fights against our prayer life.
Yes, he does.
Man. He knows where our power comes from. He fights against unity in relationships. If I can't maintain unity in my home, it hits here too. If I can't maintain unity with you, then it affects out there. He fights against our commitment. You know, the devil would love more, nothing more, for us to be complacent, for us to come in here and just be okay with singing a few songs and listening to a message and leave and not being changed and not encountering Him. That would probably be a good day for him. He fights our joy. We know this. Usually with people, right? When we lose our joy, discouragement comes in. When we have no joy, it's hard to be joyful and be discouraged. You think about that. You can't have hope and joy and be discouraged. Finally, he fights our spiritual growth. I think that we as Christians grow so much when we're walking in our passion and we're walking in the dreams that are inside of us. We grow the most from simply living out His will. So how do we fight? How do we fight these things that I just mentioned? I think for me, and what I try to teach my kids, but they're stubborn like me, I think, is that we have to learn how to protect our heart and our minds. We know this is another popular verse. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And actually, the next verse is, put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk far from your lips. If we struggle with an area, don't surround yourself with that area. If TV is my issue, then don't walk in the house, and I'm not going to turn it on immediately. If that's what causes me to waste my time, hide the remote. If you would turn to Psalms 105. Y'all are really quiet today. You're listening. Or y'all there? Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord, his strength. Seek his face always. One way to guard our heart and our mind is simply just to rejoice and to praise him. I know we had a crazy experience on the way home from vacation. Crazy experience. We trying to think what happened first. Tire happened first. Okay, so we were on the road. We weren't very far. We were just a couple hours away, which we were very thankful by the time we got home that it was just a couple hours away. But we had a tire. It started going flat. We have, a sensor that lets us know. And so we pulled over. Rick put air in it. So we were like, we're good to go. So I think when that happened, we went by Wendy's. This is a very important part of the story. Just kidding. We went by Wendy's because the kids were hungry and they were giving free Frosties because it was Customer Appreciation Day. So the kids were pretty thrilled. I guess probably 5 minutes after that, Caleb has a terrible nosebleed. And he'll have them occasionally, but it's nothing like this time. Usually, his nosebleeds will last a couple minutes, and they're gone. And it's like, I put a little pressure, it stops, we're good. I guess the night before, he started running fever. He had some allergies, low-grade fever, whatever. And anyway, he has this nosebleed, and he's like, put pressure on him. I'm trying to lean back and trying to help him, and I was like, Rick, you got to pull over, because he was like going through napkins like crazy. I mean, it was just gushing, just terrible. And so we we pulled over, and Emma, she's a little dramatic. I can't eat my frosting. I'm going to be sick. Which I don't blame her. I mean, it was really bad. So anyway, so she was upset because she wasn't able to eat her frosting, which Caleb obviously wasn't able to either. And so we're standing on the side of the road, and I mean, it's just pouring. And we were going through so many napkins that I finally just was like, I'm going to take a pillowcase off of a pillow. And I just grabbed a pillow. It was Emma's pillow. So she was doubly upset with me. She couldn't eat her Frosty, and I took her pillowcase. But anyway, finally, it stopped. Oh, midway through. Rick has a sensitive stomach when it comes to like this. So, Caleb and I are standing on the side running. Rick's trying to help, but I know that he's not able to. And so he's like, what do you want me to get? What do you want me to get? And this, I mean, like, my hands are covered in blood. It's just terrible. Anyway, and so all of a sudden, I look over and Rick is gagging. And so Caleb, with his nosebleed, he starts giggling at Rick. So we're laughing at Rick gagging. And Caleb, I mean, he's pale and it's just terrible. So anyway, it finally stops. I'd say we're on the road like 20, 25 minutes or something. It was forever. And Matthew was quiet the whole time. I mean, he did great. But get in the car. And so Emma looks over to Caleb and was like, Caleb, I don't want that pillowcase back. You can have it. And I was like, yeah. So she was very giving in that moment. So we get back in the car. We're on the road. And I guess 5 minutes after that, the light comes on again for the tire. And so we pull over again. And Rick's like, I think I'm going to have to change it, because he could see it looked like a staple or something in the tire. And so I was like, well, let's pull over there. I could take the kids inside a store or whatever while he's doing that. And so we get it changed. And Caleb, we're in the car, I guess a few minutes after that, starts to have another nosebleed. But it wasn't as bad, so we were able to continue. But after the tire and the first nosebleed, we turned on the loudest praise music that we could get, and we just started screaming praises to Jesus. We didn't get upset. We, in fact, we were laughing and cutting up about it. And I realized what else would have happened if our attitude would have been wrong, if we would have gotten mad. I mean, that would have just been an open door at that moment, just to do whatever. I guess probably the next day or a couple of days later, Rick had two blowouts on his van. And so it's just been crazy. That week was just so crazy. But the whole time, we maintained an attitude of praise to protect our heart and mind. And you know, that's huge. I mean, like, so many times, I mean, especially coming home on vacation, we're not home, but making the choice, but more than that, just showing our kids, and no matter what, just praise Jesus, you know, that protected our heart and minds. One more thing. One way to fight is not to dirty the water. John 4:14. This is the Samaritan woman that Jesus is talking to. Actually, let's go to 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life." A lot of times, when the enemy is coming against these things, it's very easy for us to lash out and to be upset at other people, to blame other people, to make wrong choices, which, and we repent, God's faithful and just to forgive us. But to protect our heart, we have to keep clean, so to speak. Keep our hearts pure and our mind pure. So as we're seeking Jesus this time, join with us in this. You know, we're together. We're together in this. We're a body. We need you. So if you wouldn't mind just staying with me. You know, I believe that another way that the enemy fights us is physically.
Yes.
You know, whether it's just allergies and a bloody nose, or just aches and pains, whatever it is. You know, all of that stuff wears on us mentally. All of it does. And so, if you wouldn't mind joining hands. One of the things that we're going for hard and seeing Jesus move in it is what we've discussed just about unity. You know, but we have to know the person that's next to us. Care. And back each other in prayer too. So, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for today, God. We thank you, Lord, that we get to seek you.
It's a privilege.
We thank you, God, that you love us and you honor us, God.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, that you don't have a plan to harm us, that you want the best for us, Jesus. I thank you for that, God. And Lord Jesus, right now, I thank you that your blood covers us from all the attacks of the enemy, God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for joy. I thank you for strength, Lord God. I thank you for the strength to stand, God. As Jamie prayed and just spoke this morning, God, I thank you that we are strong and we are courageous, Lord God.
In you.
And Joshua took the Israelites into the promised land. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you don't want us to shrink back, God. But Jesus, you give us the strength. You make us strong to plow through every attack of the enemy. I thank you, God, for unity in this body. I thank you, Jesus, where there's things in our hearts, God, maybe towards each other, maybe just towards ideas of each other, God, or prejudgments. Lord God, I thank you that you deal with those quickly. I thank you, God, that you deal with those quickly in our hearts, Lord God. Like as that little broom, Jesus, I ask that that dust to go also, Lord. And God, I ask you, for all of us, Lord, brush the dust of our hearts, God, that comes with life, Lord, that comes with being in relationships. Lord God, I thank you, God, that we are relational for a reason, because we need each other. And God, I thank you, Jesus, that we get to be relational, that we're not robots, but that, God, we get to love each other. And Lord God, I thank you for grace to do that. God, may we see the best in each other. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.